stay standing, go to the book of John, Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter number 15 this evening. We will be reading the first seven verses. John chapter number 15. I'll read verse number 1 out loud, and then you'll join me on verse number 2. We'll alternate like that all the way through verse number 7. John chapter number 15, beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says this: I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Let's finish on verse number 7 together. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you for what you've already done in our hearts this morning. Lord, we thank you for the answer to prayer. Lord, lives have been touched. Folks have been saved. Lord, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Thank you for your presence in our lives personally when we're at home and throughout the day, but in an extra special way, thanks for being with us here this morning. Lord, here we are again, another service. Lord, help it to not just be a tradition. Help it to not just be a vain gathering. But Lord, as we're here and as the Word of God is being preached to us this evening, Lord, may our hearts be tender. Lord, may our minds be focused. But Lord, may we be willing to listen, not with the intent of necessarily just learning something, but what can we do more for you because of what's taught here this evening? Do something with our preacher this evening that he nor anyone else in here can do. Meet our needs. Fill him with your power. We'll yield ourselves to that same Holy Spirit as he preaches. We'll ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Keep your Bible open. We're going to use them a little bit tonight. One of my goals as your pastor is to see you grow in the Lord. If your only spirituality is while you're here at church, it's pretty weak. My goal is to get you to be spiritual, whether you're in church or not. Every person, though, is different. Everyone is at a different stage of growth in your Christian life. We have people in this room, you've been saved maybe a few weeks, some a few months, some years, some decades. I just passed 50 years being saved. I have 5 decades. I grew up in Christianity. This is all I know, thank God. And I wouldn't trade it. May I say something, though? We are not robots. We're not computers. Do you know that no two people in their Christian life are in the exact same place? By the way, we're not all supposed to be at the same place. I long for you to grow and be as close to God in this life as you can be. I've said this before. I haven't said it recently. But this life here is just practice for eternity.
That's right.
We've seen a lot of deaths in the last 7 weeks. I've dealt with, personally, in our church, we've had 6 people that have died, but I've dealt with 11 different deaths in the last 7 weeks of people here and around the country and different things. We're talking day after day after day after day after day. But can I tell you something? This life here is just to get ready for real life and real living. Let me show you what I mean. You could plant 100 apple trees in the same field. Did you know that no two trees will be exactly alike? No two trees will give you the same exact number of apples. No true trees will give you the same quality of apples. Some will be bigger than others. Some will have disease. Some will have a lot of apples. Some will not have as many. You see, you have to understand, just because it's an apple tree doesn't mean all apple trees are exactly alike. You see, well, they're the same kind, right? And they could be in the same field and have different yields. You drive a quarter mile up the road up here, and you've got the WVU research farm up here, and they've got a whole field of apple trees. If you drive by there when the apples are on there, all those trees are different amounts of yield, different kind, et cetera, et cetera. The tree, listen to this statement. The tree itself does not control the production of fruit. If that were the case, every tree would be exactly alike. Some of it's dependent on soil, water, sun, shade, disease, how it's been trimmed, etc., etc. But the tree itself does not control that. Now, listen to me carefully here. I've heard a lot of preaching in my life. You have to understand, I'm 54, almost 55 years old, and I've been in church for over 55 years. You say, how's that work? Because I went to church for 9 months before I was hatched. I wasn't a church mouse. I was the church rat. I grew up in church. I've heard a lot of preaching. Being a preacher, being in Bible college, being in the ministry full-time for over 32 years, I've heard a lot of preaching. I've heard a lot of preaching about how Christians are supposed to produce more Christians. I'm going to make a statement here. That could not be farther from the truth. Brother Aaron, I can't produce another Christian because I didn't produce my own Christianity. The fruit of a Christian is not another Christian. I can't make anybody get saved. I can't save anybody. Only God can produce a Christian. It is only by salvation are we a Christian. It's not because of what church we're a member of. It's not because of what we think we are or how we live. That is based on a birth through the Holy Spirit and God, not through another person. If that were the case, every person I talked to then would get saved. Did you know every person that Jesus talked to didn't get saved? So I wonder what kind of Christian he was. We can present the gospel, but I can't save anybody. I can get the gospel to people clearly, but it doesn't mean they're going to receive it. Christianity itself is not something that we produce in someone else. Let me say that again. Christianity itself is not what we produce in someone else. My job is to get you to grow in the Lord, but I can't produce you as a Christian. I believe that the Bible is very clear that it's the believer's responsibility to get the gospel to every creature. That's what the Great Commission is all about. God says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But we're commanded to get the gospel to every creature. But everybody look at me for just a second here. There is no place in the scripture where it commands you to have somebody saved all the time. It's not there. I've looked. Now, I'm for seeing people get saved. Everybody hear that? I believe we ought to get the gospel out more, and I believe the more we get the gospel out, the more people get saved. We had 2 saved at the funeral yesterday. We had 1 saved at church. We had 11 saved at the funeral last Saturday. I had Brother Jimbo's funeral. Loretta's not here tonight. I forget how many people got saved at Brother Jimbo's funeral. And I've preached a couple others, and I think in the last 6-8 weeks, I've had 25, 30 folks get saved just at funerals. We have more people get saved by accident than get saved on purpose in most churches. Good night delivery people around here don't have a chance. Mrs. Barnes is at them. Like sick them on a bulldog, man. Here she goes, you know. Everywhere we are to get the gospel out, but because somebody does not get saved, that's not my fault. If I have given the gospel and I've given it clearly, that's where my responsibility ends. Did you know that not everybody got saved when Jesus talked to them? They rejected it. Now, listen to this very carefully. Just like the apple tree cannot control how much or what quality of fruit there is, neither can you control how many people get saved in your Christian life. Now, I've spent my life preaching the gospel. I have seen tens and tens and tens and tens and tens of thousands of people saved. I don't expect everybody else to have that, though. After you've preached 25,000 times like I have, maybe you will have seen 75,000 people get saved. But until then, you're probably not going to see that many. Most of you have never met that many people. I get that. You have to understand, my wife and I, we have met millions of people through that the last 30, 40 years. I've preached in 33 states. I've been all over this country. I've preached in Canada and I've preached in Mexico. I've preached in two foreign countries. I've had people saved in three different countries just in North America. I've had folks saved in just about every state that I've preached in. And I say that to say this, I don't expect you to produce like that. Now, please don't crucify me for the next statement. We've almost mislabeled getting the gospel out by calling it soul winning. I'm not against using that term. But soul winning is not what most people have turned it into. Most people, what we think of soul winning, call it spirit winning. Your soul is that which you communicate with your fellow human being with. My job in soul winning is to knock on doors and to talk to people and win them enough to where they like me enough to where they'll listen to the gospel and maybe trust Christ as their Savior. What most preachers preach out of John chapter 15 is spirit winning, not soul winning. I find nowhere in the Bible where I'm commanded to win somebody's spirit. That's only God's job. I can't get somebody born again. I can get them to the gospel, but that's between them receiving the gospel. That's between them and God, not between them and me. Well, preacher, how many of the people that got saved at the funeral really mean it? As many as the ones that you haven't talked to yet. If they're willing to raise their hand at the funeral service after I've given the gospel clearly, I'd say that's sincere enough. Well, how sincere were they? Sincere enough to raise their hand in a funeral saying they just trusted Christ as their Savior. I'd say that's pretty good. I don't find anywhere where I'm supposed to judge their sincerity. I don't know what the sincerity test is. It's not in the scripture. The Bible doesn't say whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord and do it with all his heart shall be saved. It says whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He that believeth not is condemned. He that believeth is saved. It doesn't say anything about with all their heart. Everybody doing okay? I'm having fun right now. Hang on. So, only God can win their spirit. We can be like a tree and allow the production to flow through us, but we are not going to be in control of the production. Now, let me get into this John chapter 15 a little bit. Look at verse number 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. I've heard preachers get up and say, and I'm not saying that they're preaching bad doctrine, but I'm going to tell you they're not preaching what God said here. Well, there are people that don't get people saved, and God's going to take you out and burn you. Then there's people that have fruit, but then God wants more fruit. That means the fruit of the Christian is another Christian. That means the more people you have saved, the better Christian you are. Then it says much fruit. What kind of soul winner are you? That's what they'll preach. That's not what John 15 is talking about here. Because I am not in control of who receives the gospel. I'm in control of getting the gospel out. I'm the mailman that delivers the mail, but if you don't pay the bill, I don't have to pay your bill. But that's what they're saying. I'm not going to name names, though I could. I know preachers who tell their staff, if you don't have somebody saved down the aisle and baptized each week, you don't get your paycheck. Well, I think that's wicked as a stinking devil. I really do. I've counseled their assistant pastors who have people lined up in case they can't get somebody saved, that person will walk the aisle and get saved and baptized again for them so they can feed their family. And I think that's wrong, and it's not Christianity. Just so you know. By the way, those are the preachers that call me a deeper lifer. They're idiots. I believe my responsibility is to get the gospel out. It's the lost person's responsibility whether they receive it or not, not my responsibility. I am sure there are people that have sat in this room in the last 6 weeks at funerals who came in lost and walked out lost, but they got the gospel while they were here. I opened up the gospel gun and unloaded all barrels on them. Kaboom! I wasn't afraid of it. They didn't walk out saying, I wonder what he meant by that. No, it was very clear. Very clear. And if they walked out and rejected it, that's between them and God. That's not my fault. Don't hold me liable for that. Now, listen carefully here. Let me try to help you. Number one, the saved are simply branches attached to the trunk of the tree. If you are saved, we are to be attached to the trunk. God said in John 15, verse number 1, I am the true vine, my Father is the husband. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Look at verse 4. Abide in me. That word abide means live. Be grafted into me. And I in you. Look at me. Did you know the branch of a tree, if you cut it off, is going to die? Where does the branch get all of its nutrition and the water and everything that feeds it? Through the trunk. And the trunk gets it from the roots. Any of you that cut wood know what I'm talking about. A certain time of year, you can go cut a tree and the water will just run out as soon as you cut the bark. See, the water runs between the bark and the first layer of the tree itself. And that's what feeds all of the branches. And if you cut that thing when it's sucking up water, buddy, it'll gush out. I mean, it's like a fountain coming out of that thing. Brother Barnes and I did that one time. Man, we cut down this big old oak tree and there was water sloshing everywhere. That was the most I'd ever seen at one time. But it happens that way. The fruit comes from the trunk feeding those branches. If you cut the branch off, guess what? No fruit. None. It has to be attached to the trunk, to the main vine. If you've ever been around grapes, you have the main vine and then you have the other vines that come off of that. If you damage the main vine, the rest of them are going to die. It's the vine that brings all the nutrition, and the branches hold the potential for fruit, but they don't produce the fruit. They have the potential as long as they're connected to the tree and they're in good standing with that, then they can produce fruit. But depending on where that branch is, some produce more fruit than other fruit. And if there's been damage to it, it has to be purged, it has to be cut, and it has to be fixed so that it can bring more fruit. You know, you don't plant an apple tree and never cut it. It'll quit producing apples. Do you ever notice every year at an apple orchard, they're always cutting trees up and pruning them way back? Say, why is that? So they produce more fruit. They're not cutting the tree down. They're purging it so that it'll bring forth more fruit. But you don't cut it off at the base and say, okay, we're done. You produce apples one time, let's plant a new tree. Oh, no, 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 no. Our job as a Christian is to stay connected, abiding in the trunk, which is God and Jesus. It is the Word of God. Your job as a Christian is to stay attached, abide in Him. As you abide in Him and His Word abides in you, then we can bring forth fruit. But woe be to us when we get outside of that. Guess what happens? Not much. Look at verse number 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them into the fire and they are burned. Now look at me. That means this. If you're not abiding in the trunk, you're going to die. And for that rest of that branch to bring forth fruit, you got to take off the dead part. How many of you have ever grown tomatoes before? You know, how many of you know what sucker in a tomato plant is? What's that? You go pick off all the stems that aren't producing fruit. Because otherwise, all the nutrition is going up and feeding those sucker shoots and taking it away from the actual tomatoes. So the more of those suckers you take off, the bigger and the more and the better fruit you have of tomatoes. Same is true with an apple tree. You have to cut those dead pieces out and the ones that aren't going to produce out so that the producible part can bring forth more fruit. If you don't abide in Him, your branch will die, and that means it's going to wither and have to be burned up. Now watch this. When the branch breaks from the trunk, it begins to dry up. It dies. That's why you need church. Church is staying connected to the branch or to the trunk. That's why you need to read your Bible on a regular basis. I believe you ought to read your Bible every day. I don't care if it's one verse. I don't care if it's one chapter. I don't care if it's 10 chapters. But you ought to read the Word of God every day. This is why you need Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night church. Say why? It helps us abide in the trunk. By the way, I believe that's why you need the fellowship of other good Christian people. You know, you hurt yourself by running in, running out of church and never talking to anybody. You wonder why you grumble all the time. Wonder why everything's negative. Be around people. You say, well, I don't like that person. Then get yourself right with God. Get to liking them. Amen. Well, they're not exactly like me. And maybe we're all glad. Amen. You know, I don't want everybody like me. You'll plow your head into a tree like I did. Or not duck when she hits me with the frying pan or something, you know? Maybe we ought to learn to fellowship with one another. Maybe everybody's not as bad as you think they are. The branch doesn't control the production. The branch's job is to stay connected into the tree. Just like I don't control the production, I stay connected to the tree and let God produce through me. Isn't that what God says here? All right, now, number 2. What fruit is then produced in John chapter 15? Since I can't control how many people get saved, that can't be the fruit. What is it? Look at verse number 2. Every branch in me that beareth forth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Look at verse number 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Oh, so you have fruit, more fruit, much fruit. As a Christian, I can't produce another Christian, but there's fruit that must be able to be produced through me if I abide in him, correct? Now I want you to notice something here. Look at verse number 4 again. Abide in me. Now what's the next phrase? And I in you. Oh. There's the key. And I in you. Listen to this statement. When a person gets saved, they abide into the trunk. They're grafted, the Bible says, into the trunk. But who abides in us? The Holy Spirit of God. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. What fruit are we to bear? We're not to bear our fruit. We're not bearing another Christian. We are bearing the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Look at Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit, there's that word again, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. Look at me. As you abide in him, love, joy, peace, goodness, faith, temperance, meekness, gentleness are all produced in us as it's needed to help other people. And it is the fruit of the Spirit. The more you yield to the Spirit, the more fruit is produced in you. The more you reject the Spirit, the less fruit produced in you. Now listen to this statement very carefully here. You can't produce the fruit. My job is not to work on my love or my joy or my peace. That's the Holy Spirit's fruit in me. My job is to stay yielded to the Holy Spirit, ask for his guidance, stay in his word so that when love is needed, I'm there to love. When joy is needed, I'm there to give joy when joy is needed. When peace is needed, I've abided in him and he can produce peace through me in those tumultuous times. That's what God's talking about in John chapter 15. Fruit, more fruit, much fruit. It's not people saved, more people saved, and much people saved. It's the more I abide in him and he in me that he will produce much fruit in us. God wants us attached or yielded and abiding in him so that the Holy Spirit can produce his fruit through us. Let me say it again. You can't produce that fruit. I've used this statement a lot in the last year or two. We try to manufacture Christianity. The key word to that is man. How about we Godufacture instead of manufacture? We have too many Christians trying to manufacture love. How about we abide in him and let the Holy Spirit Godufacture it through me? I just coined a new word. Amen. You see, my job is to abide in him, be in that book. By the way, the Holy Spirit can't guide you outside the confines of the Word of God. So the more of this you have in you, the more of it has, he has in you to work with. And the more he has to work with, the more fruit he can produce through you. But you don't control that. The other day when I came down to hospice with you and your family and Lori, before I walked in, I said, Holy Spirit, I need you. I'm going to fail. There ain't nothing I can do to help these folks. I can't fix it. But may they get what they need from you. I'll be your spokesperson. And I went in and tried to help. I'm sure others could do much better. But at least I was there. And I went back. And I went back, and I went back. Talked to different people each time. It was great. I stood here yesterday and preached Paula's funeral. And honestly, I don't care who you are, you can't help everybody at a funeral. Because I couldn't even help myself at my own mom's funeral. Because all I could do is stand here and be a mouthpiece and let God work through me. Isn't that what this is all about? You see, we obey God and let His Holy Spirit produce love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. He produces that through us as long as we are abiding in Him. That means this: when you lose your temper, you weren't abiding in Him. That means when you're doubting and losing faith in something, that you're not abiding in Him. That means when you get all negative and critical and nasty about everything, that you're not abiding in Him. Well, that's not the way I want it. Who said that God's supposed to please you? We were supposed to please Him. Well, our job is to stay attached to Him and let Him produce fruit through us. We are that branch, and we're attached to the tree, or I'm the bush, and attached to the tree, and we're supposed to let Him produce fruit through us. By the way, go back to John chapter 15. Let me prove to you that this chapter is about the Holy Spirit and not about producing Christians. Go back to John chapter 15. Look at verse number 25. But this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter, notice the capital C, is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Ooh. In other words, this whole chapter is about us abiding in Him so that the Holy Spirit can come and flow and work through us and produce His fruit in us. Abide in me and I in you, the same shall bring forth much fruit. The more yielded to God you are and His word in obedience to it, the more fruit that the Holy Spirit can produce in you. It's that simple. Look at verse 16, John chapter 15. Look at verse number 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Oh, what's the first fruit of the Spirit? Love. God didn't say, if you abide in me and you want a new car and you ask me for it, I'm going to give it to you. Right. He said, if you abide in me and you need love, I'll love through you. If you abide in me and you need joy, or you need to give joy to someone, I'll give you joy through you. I'll give long suffering through you. I'll give goodness through you. I'll give faith through you. I'll give temperance and meekness through you. It's not asking for whatever you want. It's asking God for this fruit of the Spirit to work through you so that you have something to give to someone else. Boy, this would change your Christian life, I promise you. This one's going to hurt. You ready? I love you. Number three. I've been in Christianity a long time. We don't qualify to judge others or be a fruit inspector. Amen. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. Can you tell I've been around a long time? Matthew chapter 7, look at verse number 1. Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first to cast the beam out of thine own eye, then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. One branch has no right to compare itself to another branch. Brother Mike, I have no right to be connected to the tree just like you are and say, you're not as good as I am. We're both connected to the same tree. Who cares? Since it is the Holy Spirit producing fruit, when you start judging somebody else's life, you're judging God, not them. And that's dangerous business. May I say this the nicest way I know how? You have no right to judge God. That means you have no right to judge whether somebody else is right with God or not, or whether they're living the way they're supposed to or not. This is my every 4 to 6 weeks rant and rave. That's why it's going to be a cold day where the booger man lives before we ever pull somebody up here, one of our young people, and stand them up here and tell them all the bad things they did in front of you, because we're supposed to tell the whole church. That's a bunch of garbage. That's nothing but gossip and wrong. First of all, those churches, how about we pull the preacher up there and tell them all the bad things he's done? And then everybody else, and then we'll tell what this one did. By the time we get through everybody else's sin, nobody else is going to hear about that one. We have no right to judge somebody else. You can't forgive their sin anyway. Only God can. Who made you the Pope? So who are we to judge somebody else? Do you know it's not my job to judge whether somebody's been saved or not? I have people all the time, well, preacher, I'm not sure this person's saved. Okay, I'll give them the gospel. I give them the gospel, I'll get through it, and some will say, I've never done that, they get saved. Some will say that, boy, I did that a long time ago. Okay, what'd you do? I did exactly what you just said. Then you're saved, don't worry about it. And here's what somebody will say, well, they haven't been living it. You just stay connected to the tree and quit judging somebody else. That's scriptural. Look at John chapter 15, verse number 10. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. We're supposed to compare ourselves to him, not to somebody else. When we start judging everybody else, what you want to say is, look at me. Well, that's not my motive, preacher. I can't judge your motive. Only God can. But according to God, we're supposed to compare ourselves to him. Instead of looking this way about our Christianity, how about we look this way? When we look at this way, you're going to look this way. Because it'll humble you very quickly. It really will. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Look at verse number 12. Let me tell you what God has to say about it. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, look at verse number 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that are commended, that commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reached not unto you. For we are come as far, as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased that you shall be enlarged by your own according to the rule abundantly. God said we're not wise when we compare ourselves among ourselves. Our job is to get the gospel out, and our hope is that people will stay long enough to grow so that they will abide in him so much fruit can be produced in them. Instead of criticizing them, how about we get them closer to the trunk? Instead of comparing your branch with their branch, how about we just say we're connected to the same tree, praise the Lord. Well, they're not connected as tightly and they're not producing as much as I am, preacher. Then you're looking at the wrong place and probably you got wormy fruit anyway. You might have a longer branch, but we're going to be purging it a whole lot. God does not cut the whole tree down because one branch doesn't produce. Here's what many churches do. Well, this person isn't producing fruit. Let's cut it down. Oh, no. How about we purge it so that it can make more fruit? Let's work those weak areas off of it, but let's nurse it. Let's nurture it. And let's get that thing healthy so that it can produce fruit. Boy, that's good stuff. We all need pruned. That's what preaching is. By the way, you don't get pruned one time and you're done for good. You need pruned on a regular basis. Amen. Whereas Brother Hiles used to say, you might only come once, so I'm going to dump the whole truck on you in one load. I'm going to pluck your tail feathers on the way out, but here we go. By the way, that pruning comes with a walk with God. There are times as you walk with God, you'll say, God, I gotta step up here. I need your help. That's what responding to the preaching is. I believe every Christian ought to respond to preaching in some shape, form, fashion, or another. And I'll tell you this, the more you can respond by coming to the altar and kneeling, the better your Christianity will be. I realize some of you can't physically do that. I get that. But I think that you ought to respond as much as you can. I'm not asking for a full altar. What I'm asking for is for God to purge you so that you are more yielded to Him, so more fruit could be produced through you. By the way, that's what separation is all about. As we separate from the world, we're supposed to take the things off of our life that keep us from getting closer to Him. It's not a matter of, well, this is the way I dress, and this is the way my hair looks, and this is the way you ought to be. No, the things that should come off, God will reveal that those things need changed in your life so you can draw closer to Him. Let God cut those things out of your life. You don't have to do it in another Christian. Can I tell you something? Don't be stubborn. Don't be stiff-necked. Just because, well, this is just the way I've always been, preacher, then change. I will never change the doctrines of that book right there. Amen. I'm not changing it. Amen. Two and two is four, sun rises, east sets in the west, and I'm not changing it. Amen. I'll preach the gospel true, clear, plain, King James Bible only, not making any apologies for it. My position isn't changing no matter what. Don't care who you are, what your last name is. I'm not changing it. Amen. If my disposition bothers you, I'll work on it a little bit. I will. Did you know I can be kind to people I disagree with? I have to be kind with people I disagree with. You're here. I'm sure all of us, if we sat down long enough, would find an area we disagree about. Just ask my wife. We disagree regularly. Doesn't mean we're going to get a divorce because I disagree with her. Guess what? You can disagree and not be ugly. You can disagree. Okay, I disagree with my wife, but it doesn't mean I'm never going to talk to her again. That's dumb. She'll hit me with another frying pan in the head. I'm almost always willing to change my disposition. I'm never willing to change my position. My position will not change. Recently, I got a letter from somebody that has changed in the last couple decades. They wrote me a very kind letter. It's a preacher friend. Now, there was part of me that said, I wonder why I got this. This is somebody that at one point in time had even attacked. But Brother Mike, you know what I did? I sat down and wrote him a kind letter back. I thanked them for their investment in my life decades ago. Now, I didn't get real flowery with it, but I thanked them for it. That doesn't mean that they're going to come here and preach next week either. Never will. They've changed. But I could be kind to them. They were kind to me. I could return the kindness. I asked God what I should do, and the fruit of the Spirit said, love, joy, peace, goodness, gentleness, faith, temperance, meekness. Maybe I'd exercise those, but I don't want to. Can I write the one I really want to write? He said, you can, but you better throw it away. So I wrote a very kind letter. I read it to two people that I trust to make sure that it said what it should say and that it wasn't snarky like I wanted to be. Honestly. Say why? Because I wanted the Holy Spirit to work through it. You see, I'm not going to change my position, but I can change my disposition. Fruit, more fruit, much fruit. But that fruit isn't Christians, it's the Holy Spirit producing fruit through me. As I abide in Him, He abides in me and produces through me. Let me ask you a question. How much are you letting God produce through you, or how much are you trying to manufacture yourself? Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Maybe we ought not try to manufacture Christianity. How about we let Godufacture it? How about we yield to Him and let Him produce through us?